Our second lesson, the Holy Gospel for today, is recorded in the Gospel of John. And it's chapter 12, but I'm going to start a verse early and I'm going to end a verse after what is said there so that you kind of understand the context of this particular verse. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There, and this is where you begin on here, there they gave him a dinner. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and believing in Jesus. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it was written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered these things that had been written of him and had been done to him. And here's the ending that I added. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after Jesus." The gospel of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Grace to you and peace from our God and from our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Hosanna, save us, we beseech you. That's our cry. Hosanna, meaning save us, we beseech you. The anointed king has arrived. The appointed time has come. And the orderly little world of Jerusalem is disarrayed. You might say disjointed by this strange king. That's the status in this gospel reading for today. First, this is kind of a capsule of what happened here. First, Jesus is served dinner by Martha, as she was always the server, with her risen brother Lazarus, at table with them. Then Lazarus' sister Mary anoints the strange king with precious oil, but on his feet. Most kings are anointed on their heads. Jesus rebukes his ultimate betrayer, as he knows will betray him, Judas, for being more concerned about money than an act of love. Then the chief priests plot to kill both Lazarus and Jesus because Jews were deserting the faith over Jesus' resurrection of Lazarus. Then the crowd rolls out the green carpet of these palms of these palms for their Savior riding not on a royal chariot, but on that humble colt, that baby donkey. And of course, the disciples, again, didn't get it as they didn't for the 3 years. That's today's gospel to usher in this huge Holy Week we have. Hosanna, save us, we beseech you, is the word, the cry from the crowd. Jesus' anointment was different. It was a burial act of pouring out oil, fitting and extravagantly done by a lowly woman. Remember, women were not considered important in the Bible at the time. Perhaps they aren't now either, I don't know. And Jesus would be extravagant in his love, extravagant as much as she was extravagant in pouring out that oil. That love would be poured out by Jesus over this coming week, the highest week of the Christian year, Holy Week. Jesus' appointment is different in other ways too. He is appointed by God to take away our sin, not reign here, but to reign from above for us. Then there are these disjointed acts that make up this kingship. An act of love, not power, is his kingship. Within the week, these palms of faith and hope turn to ashes. Within a week, the cries of Hosanna, save us, we beseech you, turn to crucify him, crucify him. They turn to ashes. We start this service in joy, in love, in hope, as we should. But we end this service in concern, in wonderment, in disjointed chaos. It's the only service, except for Good Friday, that ends this way. Within a week, a plan to crucify our very God and head to Gethsemane, a cemetery of human wounds, of Jesus' wounds, of our wounds. These palms become our dying promises. This Holy Week turns from us and our earthly power as we think we have it to eternal love from above in Jesus' total humility on Good Friday. This week shows us our need for a loving and a forgiving God as we humans swing so quickly from praise to commendation. Hosanna to crucify him. Mood swings that go from tremendous euphoria to the depths of our worst actions as human beings. And yes, we keep repeating this sin and seeking other gods throughout our human history. We know that. And we can't help it. Germany saw this evil in its own people. For years, the Germans and the Jews and the Polish and the mentally ill and all those handicapped, disabled people, they all rejoiced and lived together in Germany and other areas around that. Then one day, a leader arose and spewed hate to its citizens. Hitler demanded a different, exclusive Germany. He hated some of his citizens. He was lying, of course, convincing though as a speaker, and the people to whom he appealed insidiously began to like the idea of an Aryan race of special people, as long as they were included, and that the rest could die. The rest of these children of God could die. 6 million Jews exterminated, 4 million others who didn't fit the Nazi profile, exterminated in about 5 years. Why? Because the people forgot the love of Jesus on the cross for all, not just a select group. Pope Francis saw this dichotomy in his very own religious leaders, his cardinals and his priests. Born of ordinary Italian immigrants in Argentina, Pope Francis's father worked as a common laborer for the railroad in Argentina. His grandfather, Francesco Gregorio, ran a store in Asti, Italy. And you know about Asti, Spumante. That's where they make the sparkling wine in Asti, Italy. Before Francis was elected Pope, however, he catered to Argentina's poor, just like Mother Teresa catered to the poor of India. Called the people's priest in Argentina, and as a pope later, the people's pope, he complained about some of his priests who had special people they liked, just like Hitler, who refused to baptize innocent babies, babies who hadn't even done anything, but they were from single mothers. And the poor child was conceived out of marriage. So the priest wouldn't baptize the child. Pope Francis, before he was even pope, said this: "These priests are today's hypocrites. They separate people from the salvation of God, and this poor girl who had the courage to carry a baby into the world must now wander from parish to parish so that the child is saved through baptism." Pope Francis proclaimed this: "Go out, become the Word in body as well as spirit." The body as well as spirit. That's what Jesus did, isn't it? And we will see that unfold this week. The body as well as spirit. Today's gospel has Jesus riding a donkey of humble means. We have Pope Francis riding a bus to work, not getting driven to work. Besides cooking his own meals, he visited the poor in Buenos Aires slums. He claims to this day that social outreach is more important than any doctrinal battles in churches. And isn't that the truth? Again, priests this time forgot the love of Jesus from the cross for all of us. So love came down to save us from ourselves. And isn't that the message of this Holy Week? But we look around this very day, in this very world, in this very country, and what do we see? In Georgia, it is now illegal to give water or food to people standing in long lines to offer their vote, the one thing that they have in this world that is free. Let's look at this in perspective. In the state of Georgia, the days are hot and humid often when voting takes place. Many elderly and disabled will insist on casting their vote in person because it's what they want to do for their country. But they are forced to stand in line for hours to exercise their sacred right to vote. Remember what Jesus said in the gospel according to Mark? That's our gospel for this year. Mark 9:41. "For truly I tell you, whoever gives a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward, which is eternal life, because of Jesus' death on the cross." In other words, give a cold cup of water to a stranger, because that is a blessing. It's a blessing of thanks and grace. A cup of water is much more than just a drink. It is a blessing of God's grace in this world, a holy gift given by God through compassionate followers, just like that one soldier gave Jesus wine and vinegar on the cross. It was an act of compassion, even if he had to follow rules. And as Native Americans always say, water is life. and is given to all who need. Again, some forget the love of Jesus from the cross and what that means. By the end of this week, we will see the king who rode into Jerusalem on a humble young animal, bedecked with thorns for a crown, nails for jewels, blood for valor, death for life. Jesus shows this whole world a different kind of kinging. That's my word, kinging. For 3 years on earth, he was about caring for the poor, healing the poor, and all who came to him, loving them, lifting them above royalty and riches to love and salvation. Jesus demonstrated a new world of kinging. This Sunday, we celebrate Jesus' triumphal donkey-laden entry into Jerusalem to cheers of, with these palms, Hosanna, save us, we beseech you. Hosanna. By the end of this service, the palms will wither. To die or become these ashes. These ashes that we have, ashes of our being. Our ashes of denial, our ashes of betrayal, our ashes of sin. This Sunday is not so much about us and these palms as it is about Jesus and his passion for this world in desperate need of saving. Jesus saved this whole world, not just with heroics we would expect. He humbled himself onto a cross of cruelty. He did that act for our life, this life, everlasting life. We leave this house of God today preparing to go to dark Gethsemane where our Savior will be laid. It's a bittersweet Holy Week, but next week is Easter Day, the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, our Savior, a gift of everlasting life. A friend sent me this poem this week. I thought it was really neat for Palm Sunday. It goes like this. On the outskirts of Jerusalem, the donkey waited, not especially brave or filled with understanding. He stood and waited, how horses turned out into the meadow leap with delight, how doves released from their cages clatter away, splashed with sunlight. But the donkey, tied to a tree as usual, waited. Then he let himself be led away. Then he let a stranger mount him. Never had he seen such crowds. And I wonder if he at all imagined what was to happen. Still, he was what he had always been, small, dark, obedient. I hope finally he felt brave. I hope finally he loved the man who rode so lightly upon him as he lifted one dusty hoof and stepped, as he had to, forward. Forward, she concludes this humble poem, forward. Forward as we head into Jesus' week of saving us, and we are in awe beneath the cross of Jesus, enduring love. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds on Christ Jesus and the cross. Let us join in the journey of by singing Beneath the Cross of Jesus, number 92. Palms down, ashes raised. Hosanna, save us, we beseech you. Jesus, our anointed and appointed Savior in this world, let us sing.